Good morning and welcome back to Ask the Experts on Talk Radio 1190, where every Saturday we interview DFW's top experts in the areas of legal, health, home improvement, and financial. I'm your host, Kevin Ebeling, and today I would like to welcome back Julie Johnson and Robin Ziegen. They are both attorneys in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And to start off the show today, we're going to be talking a little bit about premises liability. But first, I would like to welcome you ladies to the show. How are you?
We're great, Kevin. How are you doing?
I'm good. It's great to see you again. Before we get into it, I want you to just let our listeners know a little bit about how you guys got involved in practicing law, what kind of stuff you do, just a little bit about yourselves.
Well, I'm Julie Johnson. I've been practicing law here in Dallas, Texas, almost 25 years, and I represent plaintiffs who've been injured in a variety of ways in car accidents, premises, workplace accidents, and the like.
Yeah, I believe previously on the show we've talked just a little bit about personal injury and things like that. But this week you wanted to talk about premises liability. But before we do, let's go ahead and introduce Robin. Tell them a little bit about yourself, please.
Hi, Kevin. This is actually my 21st year of practicing.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Your career is now old enough to drink.
That it is. I've been practicing with Julie now for several years and just making sure that those that are injured get a good recovery.
All right, well, we got that stuff out of the way. Let's jump right into it, into the technical stuff so people can get as much information as they need during this very brief time that we have. Why don't you let everybody know what exactly premises liability means?
Premises liability is a term of art for basically when people have been injured on somebody's property, either by a dangerous activity or a dangerous condition. And it comes up in a lot of ways, typically falling on a substance or from a ladder or in any kind of unsafe way. That's what we call a premises liability case.
And real quick, can you tell me some examples of these cases you've experienced in your time practicing?
Well, absolutely. I mean, we see these kinds of cases in apartment complex, in on unsafe handicap ramps, in ladders that fall, painters that fall, people that are, there's holes that are uncovered that are not properly warned of or marked. A lot of different ways people can be injured. It never ceases to amaze me the creativity by which these things can happen.
Oh, sure. I can't imagine the type of cases you've seen over the years.
It is amazing. And how people manage to get themselves injured is astounding.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been an accident-prone guy myself over the years, so I've fallen victim to that a few times. But I'm sure a lot of it can be exceptionally goofy from time to time.
Indeed, and I think that's because it's a lot of times property owners, they just don't think about the consequences of decisions they make by either repairing something poorly, ignoring a problem that needs to be fixed, or just having hazards or employees that are careless, that don't properly take care of a place. You know, it's amazing what can happen. Probably the craziest case that I've ever had is where a balcony fell off an apartment complex.
Oh, wow.
And yes, our client, he was out on his balcony and it fell off from the building and he fell down two stories.
Hopefully it wasn't a 27-story building or something.
No, it was like a two-story building, but the balcony fell off. And that was a pretty easy case for us because everyone knows your balcony is not supposed to fall off.
Yeah, that's almost something you can't make up if you tell a story right. Like, that did not happen.
Right, but unfortunately, you know, it wasn't built properly and the apartment complex had a lot of rotten wood and they didn't maintain it. And so that's what created a situation. Property owners need to maintain their property in a safe way.
Now, in this particular case, it's pretty cut and dry who's responsible for the damage that was caused. But it's not that obvious in a case like this. What do you have to prove in order to win? Robin, you want to take this one?
Sure. There are several things that you have to prove. First, you have to prove that there was a condition on the owner's property or land that posed a risk to those that were present. Then you have to prove that the property owner knew or should have known about the dangerous condition. The property owner acted negligently, either by creating the condition or failing to correct it. and then you sustained injuries as a direct result of the condition on that property.
So in the event of, say, the balcony incident, how could you prove that the landlord knew that perhaps it was dangerous?
Well, they have a duty to inspect. And, for example, you have to inspect your property to make sure it's in good repair. And in that particular situation, there were a lot of cracks. There was rotten wood in the supports, and they should have inspected that to determine that it was not going to hold up.
Things that obviously should have been taken care of that were neglected on the part of the landlord.
Right.
Is the owner of the property that the people can be, I mean, is the owner of the property the only person who can be held responsible in an incident like that?
Well, that's kind of, it's a very interesting question because who actually owns the property? It's really, the question is who controls the property? Because, for example, we can have in an apartment complex, there could be corporate owners that never, ever grace the property
right.
ever, but they've hired a management company to manage the property and have delegated that duty. Or in the case of a homeowner, if you're the sole owner, then you might be responsible. So it also comes up in a construction context. You have a general contractor and you might have subcontractors. And who's responsible? It all comes down to the right of control. And whichever party has the right to control that property, make repairs, spend the money to make the repairs, as the duty to keep it in good repair, that's the party that would ultimately be held responsible.
So it could not, I mean, it doesn't have to just be a landlord who's held responsible. It could be an entire management company.
That's correct. And just because you're the owner, that doesn't make you automatically liable. It depends on, have you delegated that control to somebody else or have you retained it yourself?
And does it matter why specifically you were on the property in the first place?
Well, it does. There are different levels of care that are owed to people based on why they're there. You could be a trespasser, which is somebody who has no legal authority or permission to be on the property. And the property owner's duty of care with regard to a trespasser is only to avoid causing injury by intentional or willful conduct. A licensee is somebody who enters the property with the owner's permission, but not by invitation. An example would be a gas company employee who enters the premises to read the gas meter. The owner's duty of care with regard to a licensee is a duty not to cause injury by willful or wanton conduct or by gross negligence. The owner has to warn the licensee of hidden dangers that are known only to the owner, and that the owner has actual knowledge of these dangers. The owner does not have a duty to go and find the dangers. An invitee is somebody who is you know, our typical client. An invitee is somebody who enters the property with the owner's knowledge or consent and does so for the purposes of the premises to be that are held open to the public, like a customer at a business. And for them, it's a mutual benefit both to the person who's entering the property as well as the owner. And in those situations, the invitee is on the premises with permission, and the owner must use ordinary care to make the premises reasonably safe for the invitee. He needs to does not have to have actual knowledge, but has the duty to search the premises and make sure that there's no dangerous conditions on the premises. It's sufficient for the plaintiff in those cases to show that a reasonable owner would have had knowledge of such a condition.
And has it ever happened where there could be an instance where somebody was actually trespassing and they are injured and somehow the homeowner or property owner is responsible for the damage?
Well, that would have to be, you know, if it was just an intentional act to harm.
Right.
You know, so typically we're not going to have that situation. You know, the most common examples are really when you invite someone onto your property. And the keys to the kingdom in all premises liability cases is, did they actually know of the problem or should they have known? And clearly the crux of that comes down to the should have known standard, because it's really vague. You know, should the grocery store have known that slippery grape was on the floor?
Sure.
You know, should that... the restaurant have known that drink was spilled on the floor? Should they have known that beam had rotted out under that balcony? Should they have known, so that should have known standard is what's really the issue, and that's what's the most heavily litigated and most contentious fact in these kinds of cases.
All right, well, we're coming up against a break here in just a minute. But before we go, I want to ask one more important question. If you do find yourself in a situation where you have been injured as a result of an unsafe premise, what are some of the general steps you should start off with that you should take right out of the gate?
The most important thing, take photos. I want to say it again. Take photos. Get that phone out of your pocket and take the pictures, because it is very hard to describe the condition of the property. And you need to see, you need to photograph the spill that you fell in. You need to photograph the broken stair. You need to photograph whatever it was that caused you to be hurt. Take a picture, because the minute that the property owner finds out about it, they are most likely going to repair that condition, and we're not going to have the opportunity to go back later and check it out. That's probably the number one thing.
First thing, get out your phone, start taking pictures. Once you get that out of the way, next move.
Well, if you're hurt, absolutely go to the doctor. I mean, get yourself the medical care that you need in order to take care of the injuries that you have. You also will need to report it to the property owner or the management company, and make an incident report of the accident that you've had. And, of course, if you need to get witnesses or any of the information of any other parties, but obviously, we believe you should call an attorney. We're best suited to help you navigate all of the issues that you have in trying to pursue one of these claims.
Is it ever necessary to get the police involved in something like this, make a report on that end?
Typically not. This is not a situation where the police come in. However, the agency that we do bring in quite a bit would either be OSHA for safety inspections if it's a commercial property, or oftentimes the city of Dallas or the local city where the incident occurred. We might have them come out and do a safety inspection report to help us with the case. And timeliness is very, very important. You want to get those. So in premises cases, more than anything, it's so important to quickly call and
get the
help.
You don't want to waste any time.
Because the condition changes.
Sure.
And so you need to have, to get that inspection report to show that that property was out of compliance is very helpful.
Well, we have to take a break, but before we go, I want to make sure you let our listeners know how they can find out more about your practice and get all the information they need should they need some assistance with premises liability. The website is juliejohnsonlaw.com, and do you have a telephone number?
Yes, we do. It's 214-290-8001.
Thank you very much. We have a lot more to get to when we get back. You're listening to Ask the Experts on Talk Radio 1190. On Ask the Experts on Talk Radio 1190. I'm your host, Kevin Ebling. Every Saturday morning, we interview DFW's top experts in the areas of legal, health, home improvement, and financial. Legal is what we have on the table today. We're talking a little bit about premises liability with Julie Johnson and Robin Zeegan. And just before the break, we were talking about steps you should take if you find yourself harmed as a result of an unsafe area. And I want to get right back into it, if that's all right with you guys. First, my next question is, if I have a homeowner's insurance, will it cover it if someone gets hurt on my property? Robin, you want to take this one?
Yes. Homeowner's insurance should cover you unless you intended to hurt somebody. Homeowner's insurance provides coverage where you're negligent or even just plain stupid, but it doesn't cover you if you're intending to hurt someone.
Right. So it's usually pretty cut and dry if somebody was intending to harm someone or not, as you know, compared to an accident.
I think usually it is. I mean, that is an area that can be litigated, but I think normally we know the difference.
And most commonly, will you see accidents rather than intentional harm in these cases?
You know, as far as which clients we take, yes. You know, we typically see that it's something where it's an accident that occurs on somebody's property.
Now, can it be my fault if I'm the one injured on the property?
Yes, this is called comparative negligence, and this is an area of the law where the common defense is going to say, so let's assume that the hypothetical is you're walking along and you tripped and fell on a curb, let's say.
Okay.
Well,
if you're outside someone's home, something like
so
that?
So you're walking up a handicap ramp
sure.
and you trip and fall. Well, the premises owner is going to say, you should be paying attention. How do we know that you didn't just trip over your own feet, or why is it our responsibility? Surely you, as the injured person, must have done something stupid that have caused your accident. And so that's a very common defense. And then one of the things in that hypothetical, we would have somebody come out there and take a look at it to make sure that there's nothing defective with the ramp itself. We've had several cases where we've analyzed a handicap ramp, for example, and the slope isn't up to code. The grade, there's drop-offs that aren't up to code. And those codes are in place for a reason. And when they're out of code and somebody falls on them, those property owners can be held responsible.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people assume that a handicap ramp is a handicap ramp. They don't realize that there are things, certain areas that you need to be in compliance to keep it up to date and up to code. And I'm sure those change and evolve, and therefore the property owners need to make sure that they're evolving with that.
Well, that's right. And one of the common things is, it was interesting, is in older buildings. You know, they might have a ramp that was put in 50 years ago. That's not good enough. They have a duty to inspect it and duty to make sure that their property is in compliance with federal law and with our city, you know, codes in that regard. And so a lot of times there's a lot of handicap ramps just because it has a ramp, but there might be a severe drop-off or an uneven, and it's a tripping hazard. And when you're handicapped and you are, or even just a person walking, you're expecting that you have a reasonable expectation that surface is going to be smooth or it's going to be at the right grade. And if it's not, then they can be held responsible for that.
Actually, I had a personal situation here. Maybe you can tell me what ask a little advice. But it worked out okay. I was at a restaurant, and in one of the, you know, they have a concrete bumper in front of a parking space.
Right.
There was the anchor rebar was sticking up out of it. I didn't realize that when I parked. So when I reversed, it had caught my bumper and pulled it off. It wasn't, I talked to the restaurant. They said, we don't own the parking lot. That's a property group. So I went to the property group, but I did exactly what you said. I took lots of photos. They analyzed it, and they took care of the damages for me.
That's right.
So, it is, at the end of the day, they're responsible to make sure anything on their property is up to all codes.
Right. And your example is a great one on multiple levels, because it shows that it shows that they had a duty to inspect. You know, if they've been inspecting their property on any regular basis, they would have determined that rebar was out of whack.
Right.
It also goes to that issue that we spoke about earlier of control. Because so you're in a restaurant parking lot and you think, okay, it's the restaurant's responsibility, but you know
what? That's exactly what I thought.
They lease the space. They don't typically control the parking lots. That's out service to someone else. And so that other entity. So you never really know who all is responsible. And so that's why having somebody who can dig in and find that information is so important.
Absolutely. It's funny, too. The day I went in and made the complaint about it to the property group, that evening, the rebar was fixed.
They definitely
didn't want it to happen again.
Well, you would hope not, because think of the liability that they would face if they left it going.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Then you really know they have the problem, and then if they don't intentionally fix it, then they could really be facing a lot of problems with punitive damages, and that might be gross negligence at that point. But that's why I can't emphasize enough to the listeners out there how important it is to timely act and photograph, because the conditions, they get corrected very quickly, or at least they should.
And you can help the clients deal with this in a sense where they don't necessarily have to be dealing with the property group or anything like that. You can handle all that for them.
Oh, absolutely. We do extensive research into who the owners are and the management companies and all possible persons who would have responsibility over that property. And then we handle the claim from there. And it can be a very complex process trying to sort that out. And it's very difficult for just the average consumer to try to sift through those corporate layers to try to figure all that out. It can be quite extensive.
Sure. Can you tell me, we talked about my situation a little bit. Sorry that we got off on a tangent there. Can you tell us some other common types of premises liability cases? We touched on the handicap ramp a little bit. Can you give us some other examples?
Sure. I mean, we talked a little bit about apartment complexes. There can be unsafe stairs, ramps, and certainly balconies that we know of. Grocery stores, we've talked a little bit about spilled liquid on the floor. I know that we've had a case recently where there was a hole that wasn't quite properly taken care of on the floor that caused a lady to slip. We've got, like we said, the ramps and walkways and some different things that are required with regard to those and how they're made safe. uncovered holes in parking lots and, you know, something that we've experienced a lot of times in the winter, unmaintained ice or other dangerous conditions on the property.
That's true. Ice and things like that, we get those very unexpectedly, and they can drastically affect the driving conditions long after the fact.
Well, it's more so than driving conditions. It can happen where we see ice cases is a lot of times in apartment complexes where people have to come downstairs.
Right.
And the apartment complex has not done anything to try to put sand,
sand or
correct the ice.
Or...
But even worse, they left their sprinkler systems on, and which
just aggravated
the problems.
Problem.
Right. And or where they knew that they had a particular problem with some leaking area, and then they didn't correct it. You know, it always goes back to what the it's very factually intensive in terms of what is the nature of the problem, and should the apartment or should the premises owner have known about it, and did they take any steps to correct it?
So it's not necessarily, there's not at all the responsibility of the resident. The property has to maintain their premises, make sure that everything is safe.
Yes, they do.
And that
they do.
That includes icy steps or possible, well, the balcony one is a little bit more obvious, I think, than say your icy steps. I wouldn't have thought of quite as quickly. But now that you mentioned that, in every apartment I ever lived in, when there was ice, that they definitely always would sand the steps. That makes sense now.
Well, because you know they have an obligation to make sure it's safe, and it's the only, typically a lot of times stairways are the only way for people to get up and down the stairs.
No,
you
it
know.
Makes sense. The same way we don't check our own sprinkler system in our apartment, and you don't mow the grass around the complex yourself either. They're responsible for maintaining that property.
Well, exactly. And another example of a case that we handled on behalf of a client is at the apartment complex, the washing machine kept leaking in the washing machine area. And the soapy substance would come out and ooze all over into the sidewalk and all over into the area. And they had reported the problem on multiple occasions. And the apartment just never would fix it. And then somebody came and they slipped and they fell because it's soapy, you know, slippery.
Right. That was a ticking time bomb.
Right. And they didn't take care of it. And so that's an example of anything can happen. The imagination is limitless. But again, it always comes back to you have to ask, is that something that they should have known? Did they actually know about it? And if not, should they have known about it? And did they fail to correct it? And or fail to warn about it.
Sure. Now, I have a question for Robin real quick. Regarding commercial buildings, I've heard the term ADA compliant before, but I'm not exactly sure what that means. Do commercial buildings need to be ADA compliant? Can you explain that a little bit? And whether they need to have approved handrails, things like that?
Sure. The ADA that you're referring to is the Americans with Disabilities Act, and it provides certain things that building owners have for people who have disabilities to be able to use the property safely. So a business that is open to the public has to be in compliance with the ADA rules. And we've represented several folks who fell due to handicap ramps not being in compliance. Those ramps have to have a certain slope. They may require handrails, and they have to be properly marked.
So it's kind of similar almost to the handicap ramps in a sense. I mean, not the ADA specifically, but, well, the ADA probably relates to that as well.
Well, the ADA is why we have handicap ramps. It's
right.
To help people who are wheelchair-bound to be able to get in and out of the building to be able to conduct business just like everyone else.
So handrails are not, it's a sense that every handrail isn't the same. There actually is something they have to, a standard of safety they need to make sure they're keeping up with.
That is correct. They do have to follow certain standards, codes, and rules with regard to those so that they are safe.
And you guys touched briefly on restaurants, grocery stores, places like that where the floor could be slippery and somebody could fall and possibly be injured. Who is liable in a circumstance like that?
Well, the question is always going to be, should the premises have notice or should they have known that there was a substance on the floor? So in the grocery store, for example, a grocery store department's not necessarily going to be responsible if something falls and on the floor and then someone else slips in it 5 seconds later.
Right.
You know, it may not have been reasonable for them to have known about that and had the opportunity to clean it up. So there's a reported case. It's always interesting and it's pretty comical to read. But you've got the appellate court justices analyzing, you know, how wilted the lettuce was,
right?
Just to determine how long it could have been on the floor. You know, so literally that it gets down into that level of minutia.
They want to analyze every single particular detail that could have possibly affected this.
That's exactly right. And so it always comes back down to, should they have known about it? And they should have known a variety of ways, because, you know, grocery stores, for example, should have a reasonable expectation that in their produce department, things are going to fall on the floor, and they should have a system to routinely inspect it, for example.
Well, that is all the time that we have today. Going to have to go ahead and close out, but before we do, I want to make sure people can find out everything they need to know about Julie Johnson Law. The website is juliejohnsonlaw.com, and you can reach them at 214-290-8001. Thank you very much for joining us, ladies.
Kevin, it's a pleasure as always. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. We'll be right back after this break on Ask the Experts on Talk Radio 1190.